I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now! Another dramatic day in Tennessee as the Shelby County Board of Commissioners voted to reappoint Justin Pearson to the Tennessee House of Representatives less than a week after he and Justin Jones were expelled for joining peaceful protests against gun violence after the Nashville Christian School massacre. We'll hear highlights from Wednesday's Memphis rally, then speak to Emory University professor Carol Anderson, author of The Second, Race and Guns in a Fatally Unequal America.
That fraud has been that swaddling of the Second Amendment in the flag, in patriotism, in a sense of that the militias were there to protect and defend democracy, when in fact the militia were there designed to control Black people and deny Black people their rights. So in the Second Amendment, what we have in the Bill of Rights is the right to destroy Black people's rights.
Then President Biden signs legislation ending the coronavirus national emergency. But millions with long COVID say the pandemic is not over. We'll speak with a journalist living with long COVID. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The medication abortion pill, mifepristone, will remain available for now, though with restrictions, after an appeals court partially blocked a ruling by a federal judge in Texas last week that banned it nationwide. A three-judge panel on the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals issued a decision late Wednesday that upheld parts of the Texas ruling targeting recent moves by the FDA to increase access to the pill. That means that while challenges to the ban proceed, patients will only be able to access the medication through a doctor's office or clinic and will not be able to receive the pill through the mail or directly from a pharmacy. And patients will only be allowed to access mifepristone through 7 weeks of pregnancy instead of the expanded 10 weeks. Mifepristone is used in more than half of abortions in the U.S. It's also widely used to treat miscarriages and can keep people from needing surgery. The issue is likely to end up in front of the Supreme Court. In Tennessee, the Shelby County Board of Commissioners voted unanimously Wednesday to reappoint Justin Pearson to the Tennessee House of Representatives. His reappointment comes less than a week after the Republican-led House voted to expel Pearson and another young Black lawmaker, Justin Jones, for leading peaceful protests against gun violence on the House floor after the Nashville school massacre. Ahead of Wednesday's vote, Justin Pearson spoke to hundreds of supporters who rallied outside the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, where Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated 55 years ago.
We're going to keep fighting to end gun violence. We're going to keep fighting to end environmental racism and injustice. We're going to keep fighting for our community to lift up those who have been pushed to the periphery, to move them into the center of conversation and decision making. Not the gun lobbyists, not the NRA, not the billionaires and the people who are funding other folks' campaigns, but rather the people.
After headlines, we'll air extended excerpts from Wednesday's Memphis rally. The United Nations is warning half of Somalia's population, some 8.3 million people, will need humanitarian assistance this year amidst Somalia's worst drought in decades. Speaking from Mogadishu on Wednesday, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said nations must now act to prevent a catastrophe.
A devastating drought has already resulted in the tragic loss of 43,000 lives in 2022 alone. It has led to the displacement of 1.4 million Somalis, with women and children making up 80%. and rising food prices are naturally aggravating hunger and malnutrition. Poor and vulnerable communities are pushed by the drought to the brink of starvation, and the situation can get worse.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky called Wednesday for an international response after videos surfaced online appearing to show a Russian soldier beheading a Ukrainian prisoner of war.
There is something that no one in the world can ignore: how easily these beasts kill. This video of the execution of a Ukrainian POW, the world must see it. This is a video of Russia as it really is.
A Kremlin spokesperson called the video awful but questioned its authenticity. Meanwhile, Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva has arrived in China for a state visit where he's planning to ask President Xi Jinping to have China join Brazil as mediators in peace talks between Russia and Ukraine. This comes after the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency, the DIA, said it expects the war to continue into next year with neither side agreeing to peace talks. The revelation came as part of highly sensitive U.S. government materials leaked online and obtained by The Washington Post. The Post is also reporting the man behind the leak is a young racist gun enthusiast who worked on a U.S. military base and was seeking to impress a small group of people, mostly men and teenage boys, in an invitation-only forum on Discord, an online platform popular with gamers. Tunisia's Coast Guard says at least 10 people drown and up to 30 others remain missing after their boat sank off the coast of Tunisia Tuesday while they attempted to reach Europe to apply for asylum. The deaths came as the United Nations reported more than 440 migrants were lost at sea attempting to cross the central Mediterranean so far this year, the deadliest first quarter on record since 2017. Antonio Vitorino, who leads the International Organization for Migration, said, quote, with more than 20,000 deaths recorded on this route since 2014, I fear that these deaths have been normalized. States must respond. Delays and gaps in state-led search and rescue are costing human lives, he said. Federal prosecutors in Mexico have filed criminal charges against the nation's top immigration official over a fire in the border city of Ciudad Juarez last month that killed 40 people in an immigration detention center. Francisco Garduño, the head of Mexico's National Immigration Institute, is accused of failing to prevent the disaster despite clear warning signs at his agency's detention jails. Last week, Vice World News reported the immigration jail at the center of the tragedy was a de facto extortion center where only migrants with the means to pay a $200 bribe to security guards were released. President Biden's wrapping up a three-day tour of Ireland with an address to the Irish Parliament and a banquet at Dublin Castle. Biden's visit to the Irish Republic comes after he met UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak Wednesday in Belfast, Northern Ireland, where Biden marked the 25th anniversary of the U.S.-brokered peace deal known as the Good Friday Agreement. The Federal Reserve believes the U.S. economy will slide into a recession later this year. That's according to minutes from the March meeting of the Federal Open Market Committee made public on Wednesday, which revealed the Fed is planning another interest rate hike during its next meeting, despite the likelihood of a recession. This comes as new data shows U.S. inflation eased to 5% in March, its lowest level in nearly 2 years. A warning to our audience. This story contains graphic footage and descriptions of abuse. In Indiana, a lawsuit alleges the Jackson County Jail let a schizophrenic prisoner starve to death while in solitary confinement. Shocking details and video footage of Joshua McLemore's abuse in prison reveal the 29-year-old was locked up in solitary for 3 weeks in the summer of 2021 without access to enough food, a toilet, or any mental health care, despite clear signs of intense distress in his history of mental illness. While locked up, he allegedly lost 45 pounds in less than a month. He was arrested after grabbing a hospital nurse's hair and charged with battery. Democratic California Senator Dianne Feinstein has asked to temporarily step back from her seat on the powerful Judiciary Committee as calls mount for her resignation, including from within her own party. 89-year-old Feinstein, who's recovering from shingles, has missed 60 of 82 Senate votes taken so far this year as her absence stalls the approval of Biden's judicial nominees. This follows widespread reports that Feinstein is suffering from short-term memory loss and mental decline. In February, she announced she will not seek re-election in 2024, setting up a heated race to replace her. Congressmember O'Connor tweeted Wednesday, "It's time for Senator Feinstein to resign. We need to put the country ahead of personal loyalty. Not speaking out undermines our credibility as elected representatives of the people," he said. A judge in Delaware sanctioned Fox News Wednesday for withholding evidence in the $1.6 billion Dominion voting systems defamation lawsuit. Lawyers for Fox repeatedly downplayed Rupert Murdoch's role at Fox News, where he was a corporate officer, in addition to being chair of Fox Corporation, allowing them to turn over fewer materials as part of the discovery process, such as Murdoch's internal communications. Judge Eric Davis accused Fox News of having a credibility problem and said he is appointing someone to investigate the matter. On Wednesday, MSNBC obtained audio recordings played in court that were made by former Fox News producer Abby Grossberg of conversations with Rudy Giuliani and another Trump campaign official that appear to show Trump's team did not believe its own claims that Dominion voting systems were faulty. This is a recording from December 5th, 2020.
I think they have looked at the machines. When the Secretary of State did its audit, there was a lot, I think a fair bit of looking at the machines. The audit came in pretty darn close to what the machine count was with the receipts. So, I don't know the outcome of those, but our understanding, again, this is from the Secretary of State's office, was that there weren't any physical issues with machines on those inspections.
Jury selection for the Dominion trial starts today. The trial is scheduled to begin Monday. This comes after Fox Corporation shareholders sued Murdoch and other members of the board for failing to prevent Fox News from, quote, reporting false and dangerous misinformation, unquote, around the 2020 presidential election. More than 2,000 residents of eastern Indiana were ordered to evacuate after a massive fire broke out at a recycling plant Tuesday, releasing a huge plume of acrid smoke into the air. The fire in the city of Richmond has been contained but is expected to keep smoldering for days, prompting fears among residents about long-term health impacts from hazardous particles caused by burning plastic. And Juul Labs has reached a $462 million settlement with New York, California, and other states over lawsuits that accuse the e-cigarette company of aggressive marketing tactics leading to a youth vaping crisis. It's the latest settlement in a litany of lawsuits against Juul, which has yet to receive official regulatory approval for its highly addictive products. Juul has withdrawn many of its flavored products from the shelves following criticism that it targets young people. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We begin today's show in Tennessee, where the Shelby County Board of Commissioners voted unanimously Wednesday to reappoint Justin Pearson to the Tennessee House of Representatives less than a week after the Republican-led House voted to expel him and Justin Jones from the body for joining peaceful protests against gun violence after the Nashville school massacre. Pearson and Jones were the two youngest black lawmakers in the Tennessee House. The Nashville Metropolitan Council unanimously voted Monday to restore Justin Jones to office as well. Pearson's being sworn back in this morning. Both men will hold the seats until a special election is held. On Wednesday, Pearson and Jones took part in a rally in Memphis with Gloria Johnson, a white lawmaker who narrowly survived the expulsion vote last week. Together, they've become known as the Tennessee Three. This is Justin Pearson addressing a massive crowd of supporters outside the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, where Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated 55 years ago.
Show me what democracy looks like. Show me what democracy looks like. Show me what democracy looks like. This is the democracy that is going to transform a broken nation. Yeah. lift up the victims of gun violence instead of supporting the NRA and the gun lobbyists. This is the democracy that they're scared of. This is the democracy that they're worried about. Because this is the democracy that changes the status quo. This is the democracy that changes the status quo. But we've got news. The status quo needs changing. And the status quo needs you. So today we march, and we gonna keep fighting, and we gonna keep pushing, because we believe that this is what democracy looks like.
Justin Pearson speaking Wednesday at a Memphis rally where he was joined by Tennessee Representative Gloria Johnson.
We need to lift up these amazing voices of these young people. We need a multiracial, multigenerational organization in the Tennessee legislature, and these young voices are critical. And thank you. We need to welcome these young voices and not keep them down. Because these young people are passionate, they're smart, they understand the issues and how they affect every single person in their district.
The third member of the Tennessee Three, Representative Justin Jones, also spoke at Wednesday's Memphis rally.
There is a movement rising up in Tennessee, from Memphis to Nashville to Knoxville, to send a message to these anti-democratic forces that you're in the find out portion. You're in the find out portion. That you shut off our microphones and so we had to bring a megaphone. That you pushed our people to the back so we had to walk up to the front of the wheel. And so we have a clear message that our brother Pierce is going to join us. We know, I'm confident, because I know that after crucifixion comes resurrection. Yay! And so when we walk in that chamber on tomorrow as representatives again, we must continue the demands that led us there in the first place. That a week after a mass shooting hit Nashville, rather than pass common sense gun laws, they passed a resolution to expel the two youngest black members in the General Assembly. And so we walk in there tomorrow with a clear message that we have a demand of Cameron Sexton to resign. Yeah. Speaker Sexton represents an enemy to democracy, to multiracial democracy. He's trying to bring us back to a Tennessee in our past, the same Tennessee where the Klan was founded. But we say no longer will we sit by and be silent. It's time to rise up, not just as individuals. We didn't go up there as individuals, but we went up there representing the people of our district, the people of our state, the young people who can't even vote, the young people who said we need a voice, and that's why we walked up to that well. And so we hope that what happens today, that you come with Brother Pearson tomorrow to walk into those chambers. Because we're walking into hostile territory. Places where people, where young black voices are not welcome, and those who stand with us are not welcome. And so we're not going to be able to survive that alone. We need to let them know that you are on notice and that the world is watching, and that it's not stopped this week or tomorrow or next week, but something's changing in Tennessee. Something is changing in our state that is going to restore democracy and get rid of these forces that are trying to take us backward.
After the Justins, Justin Jones and Justin Pearson, as well as Gloria Johnson, spoke outside the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, where Dr. King died of gun violence 55 years ago, they led a march to the Shelby County Board of Commissioners ahead of a vote on the reappointment of Justin Pearson to the Tennessee House. This is Pearson addressing the county commissioners.
So the message for all the people in Nashville who decided to expel us. You can't expel hope. You can't expel justice. You can't expel our voice. And you sure can't expel our fight. We look forward to continuing to fight, continuing to advocate, until justice rolls down like water, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Let's get back to work!
After the Shelby County Board of Commissioners in Memphis unanimously voted to reappoint Justin Pearson to the Tennessee House, he spoke to supporters outside.
The Shelby County Commission done their job. I'm so glad we get to get back to doing our job.
people in Nashville. Yeah. The three children who were just 9 years old.
Yeah.
Celebrate the five folk in Louisville.
Justin Pearson speaking Wednesday in Memphis after the Shelby County Board of Commissioners voted to reinstate him to his seat in the Tennessee House of Representatives less than a week after he and Justin Jones were expelled for joining peaceful protests against gun violence after the Nashville school massacre. His swearing-in ceremony is taking place today in Nashville. When we come back, we'll be joined by Emory Professor Carol Anderson, author of The Second, Race and Guns in a Fatally Unequal America. Stay with us.
The earth in my hands, the breath in my lungs, the pool of the tide, the salt on my tongue. There's fury and power buried deep in the rough. They don't know the forces we have hid inside our young. Ooh, we rise the tide as we rise the tide. Ooh, we rise the tide as we rise. Divided the broken, diluted the sum, to pain of our tears and the songs that we sung. Our words and our melodies, the wisdom inside of me. They try to take everything, they thought they took everything.
Rise the Ride, Kashana, here on Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. To talk more about the debate over gun control, Republican attacks on democracy across the country, and much more, we're joined by Carol Anderson, professor at Emory University, author of The Second, Race and Guns in a Fatally Unequal America. The paperback edition has just been published. She's also the author of One Person, No Vote, How Voter Suppression is Destroying Our Democracy, and the book White Rage, The Unspoken Truth of Our Racial Divide. Her new documentary, named after a Langston Hughes poem, is titled I, Too. Welcome back to Democracy Now!, Professor Anderson. It's great to have you with us. So you have both Justins, the youngest black lawmakers in the Tennessee House of Representatives, being reinstated to the Tennessee legislature after leading, with Gloria Johnson, a protest against guns on the floor of the House after the Nashville school massacre. Talk about the significance of what's taken place over the last week with the overwhelmingly white legislature expelling these two legislators.
You are seeing a convergence of so many of the multiple streams in American society right there. So on one hand, what you're seeing is the power of gerrymandering to create a legislature that is not representative of the people, that is not one person, one vote, but instead is that extreme partisan gerrymandering so that you have the needs of the people not being able to be addressed by that legislature. What you're also seeing is the power of the youth who are pushing forward for a different vision of America. It is a vision that is multiracial, multiethnic, multilingual, multicultural, multireligious. And that vision scares those who are in those gerrymandered districts, scares the bejeebers, and that's the scholarly term, out of them, because it is a way of being, a way of thinking, a way of being, of recognizing people's humanity, a way of knowing that there are resources, incredible resources in this nation that should be available to all. But instead, you've got this hoarding that's happening, a hoarding of power, a hoarding of a way of wanting to be able to control. And in that control, this is why we're also seeing this valorization of the Second Amendment. And as I laid out in the book, the Second Amendment emerged really fully out of a concern about black people, out of a fear of black people. And so this is what the role of the militia was. And so, yes, we hear the thing about domestic tyranny. They really weren't good at that. We heard this thing about the militia being able to fend off a foreign invasion. They really weren't good at that. But what they were good at was putting down slave revolts. And so when you're having the debates about the Second Amendment, you're having the battles over the ratification of the Constitution, the Second Amendment was the bribe to the South to not scuttle the Constitution of the United States in order to have control of that militia to keep the enslaved in check. And so this stream that comes through is what we're consistently seeing is, and I think about Charlie Kirk, who said last week that, you know, unfortunately, there are going to be gun deaths, but that's the price you have to pay in order to have the Second Amendment. And so what it's saying is, because of the inherent fundamental fear of black people in this nation, we are willing to be unsafe in our schools, in our churches, in our grocery stores, in our amusement parks, on our streets, in our parking lots. We are willing to be unsafe in order to be able to have the access to weaponry, where we can't even think through it in terms of what is logical. What is logical is that weapons of war do not belong in the hands of civilians. What is logical is that you have background checks. What is logical is that you have red flag laws. But